This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Andrew Barron here for the Week 18 NFL Daily Fantasy Slate. So we're going to do our normal stuff. We're gonna look at the optos and yada yada and so on and so forth. But I think a good spot to start is what teams really care, what teams kind of care, and what teams don't care. I think that is probably the right way to go about this.
Yeah, please. That was the first thing I was going to ask you. So let's hit that rundown.
Okay. So Tampa Bay and Atlanta, zero initiative on either side. In fact, Atlanta would probably like to lose that game. Tampa Bay says they're playing their starters. Everyone thinks they're full of shit. There's no chance. They have a low team total. They're underdogs. Like, so no one's buying this, right?
Yeah.
Houston and Indianapolis, neither of these teams care at all. And in fact, Houston would rather lose. I believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are still live in their game against Cleveland. So I got the 538 predictor here. If they beat Cleveland, and a couple
New England and Miami, I think, need to lose or something.
They need a couple. There's a couple permutations, but the Steelers would very much like to win. Baltimore and Cincinnati. That's all fucking up in the air because we're recording this on Thursday, January 5th. It's 2:38 p.m. Central Time. The NFL right now is saying that the Buffalo Cincinnati game is not going to be made up, but they are tossing around the idea of seeding everything by win percentage instead of by total wins, which would mean that both the Bengals and the Bills would want to win. Again, unclear. We will have more clarity on that by Sunday morning. Carolina and New Orleans are both eliminated. Neither of these teams care. Minnesota and Chicago. Chicago is eliminated, and a crazy amount of permutations for the Vikings have to go through for them to get a better seed. I believe including, I think the 49ers have to lose as a 14-point favorite. So probably not a ton of incentive there.
One of the weirdest seasons we've ever seen the Minnesota Vikings this year. It's just truly bizarre.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Negative point differential and 12-4 or whatever. And then they just get absolutely dusted won a lot of games. They were 10-1 or something in one score games. Just crazy stuff.
Yeah. So the Jets have been eliminated, but the Dolphins would really like to win in that game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do with that. Although we're going to talk about, we'll save the subjective stuff for talking about the players. The Patriots for sure want to win. It's almost, it's close to like a win and you're in for the Patriots. It's not quite that exact. No, it is. It is. So it is a win and you're in for the Patriots. Given what we know now, the Bills also would like to win this game, maybe, right? Unless the NFL just says, you're the 2 seed, you're the 3 seed, the Chiefs get the 1 seed, but they don't get to play at home or something like that. That is in the range of outcomes. Seattle has to win against the Rams to make the playoffs. They're pretty thin anyways, because I believe the Packers have to lose to the Detroit Lions, but the Seahawks for sure want to win at 425. The Eagles and the Giants, the Eagles care a little bit because the Eagles care 100%. The Eagles care as much as they care last week. They don't want to lose this game. So the Eagles are 100%. The Giants are 0%. They're locked into their seed. They're locked into the playoffs. There's nothing they can do either way. Denver obviously doesn't care. If you look at the standings, the Chargers should care, but because they're going to know the result. Oh shit. Ben Solak tweeted this out yesterday, but basically there's a reason that the Chargers don't care for seeding purposes. I don't remember exactly what it is. I'm sorry, guys. I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of all these playoff scenarios, but the markets are
You're
not
doing great, bud.
anticipating the markets are not anticipating the Chargers going 100% for the entirety of this game, though I think that could change if something really funky happens in the early window. So I don't know, maybe something with late swapping to think about there. And then Dallas wants to beat Washington in the hilarious inevitability of the 49ers losing at home to the David Blau Cardinals, though that is probably a sideline. You check the score, you know, someone tells Mike McCarthy the 49ers just picked off David Blau for the fourth time. They're up 30-0 in the second quarter. And so Dak and Pollard probably come and sit on the sideline. So that's where we're at.
All right. I like it. A lot of stuff to chew on. I was wondering a little bit about that because it was like, I feel like maybe one of the toughest beats I've had of the year was last week when we were like, man, how sad is it that like the Tampa Bay with this, you know, against this crummy Panthers team in a game they want to win, like their total's so low and they've just been so bad that they're like drawing dead fantasy-wise. And it's maybe the first time ever I've had like less than 5% of Mike Evans on a slate who is, you know, kind of my favorite player. And God, that hurt because everything else went quite well. Well, I guess the Justin Fields went quite, it was just so great at 1:13 PM. And then it was not great after that pretty quickly. So the Tampa Bay thing really stood out to me where I was like, wait a minute, why is Tom Brady 1% optimal? And it's like, oh, cause we have him playing half the game. He's got an 18 and a quarter total. So they're screwed. It really does look like, so Philly and San Francisco are like your tier one totals by quite a bit. I think those are the most interesting teams to talk about because there's like certain stuff that's going to be chalk for both of them and some stuff that really won't be because so many people just aren't playing. It's not like there's a bunch of stuff up in the air, but there's plenty of value just from like randos that are going to be in there and we don't really know what they're going to do, but it's going to cause Christian McCaffrey to be 30% owned and some other stuff like that. It's a bit of a, you can do whatever you want week. So some interesting ways on how to pivot off of those. Are you like lock in McCaffrey number one play, no big deal?
No, I think he's probably like obviously the best play at running back. I mean my projection for him is absolutely insane and it feels high, but like maybe it's actually not. Right now I've got him for 26 points. I don't know what like ETR and stuff has him for, but my guess is they're not that far off. Even if I brought that down to something more rational and reasonable, he would still be the best play of the slate at running back by a country mile, because at running back, it's sort of interesting. These are the situations of the expensive guys. Eckler, very unlikely to need to play an entire game. Saquon Barkley, 0% to play the entire game. Meaningless game for Nick Chubb. Doesn't mean that he's not going to get his touches. He will probably get his normal Nick Chubb touches, but whatever. Dalvin Cook, relatively meaningless game. I mean, Nathan Peterman is starting for the Bears. Like, they're not going to lose that game. I guess maybe Joe Mixon's game ends up, we don't know. We'll probably know more by like Friday morning. Pollard probably won't play a full game, right? Connor is this like giant underdog. The running back spot, week 18 DFS is very hard.
Oh yeah. Well, here's the thing, is like we never know. So I mean it's like whatever about the speculation. The trouble is here, it's like even more likely that some total, not total rando, but like when we play this most of the time, it's like, okay, people are overconfident about like the top three running backs or whatever. And it's like, well, actually there's 10 or 12, 14 guys on the board. There's plenty of other pretty solid plays. The trouble with like weeks one and weeks 18, it's like you'd think from a GPP bro perspective, it's even more fun. It's more advantageous because it's less known what's going to happen. The trouble with that is it's just so much harder to hit the nuts because like, the guy who is looking right now like the 28th best running back play might end up just smashing. And that actually doesn't happen on like a, you know, normal week kind of situation. So you got to be careful about these randos just absolutely going off, but there's some good plays. I mean, yeah, the McCaffrey thing is just like 32% optimal. I think that's the highest running back optimal we've seen on the year. And he's 9,300. Like that's,
but you could also make an argument. So Eli Mitchell got designated for return off the the IR. He returned to practice this week. Maybe he's active. I mean, you could just make an argument that they're 14-point home favorites. Like, they're going to chill out on McCaffrey. And then my projection is way too aggressive. And it might be. And maybe I'll mess around with it a little bit.
Right.
And honestly, I would say, like, we're sitting here and it's Thursday. I mean, probably the slate is going to be decided by whichever team comes out and says we're resting our dudes, right? I mean, this is what happens every week, 18. Like, past couple years, it's been, like, the Bills. They started, like, Matt Barkley, and they're, like, you know. So, what I would make it that, I don't know, it's minus 170 that some team is coming out before kickoff and saying we're starting all of our backups, basically.
Yeah, and I think that's reasonable. And listen, you've got the simulations are not completely beholden to the projections. It is like using those market shares as a baseline, but guys that have more variance outcomes, have more touchdown stuff, are more like higher ADOT, like those types of players are more spread out. So McCaffrey, you know, we've got him at 65% of the rushes and what is it, a 20% market share of targets, which is obviously an insane workload, but that's actually lower than what he normally gets. So, you know, we are like not, it's not exactly on that. He's a very, very strong play. If you have $9,300 left over, I'm not saying like we'll get weird and play Joe Mixon instead straight up. I mean, maybe in a few lineups. Thank you. But he absolutely is a very, very strong play, and that is taken into account in the simulations as well.
Yeah. All right. So I guess let's look at the quarterbacks. I mean, if we get 100% Jalen Hurts, obviously, like, he looks pretty incredible. The problem with Hurts would be, I mean, I guess, and we've already seen this with Hurts too, where they've been up by so much in the second half that he hasn't, like, fully gone nuclear. And the Giants are, like, one of the two teams that we know truly has no incentive. They can't move up or down. So, I mean, Hurts is obviously really strong, but I don't know what his ceiling would be. Like, I mean, he can get 24 in the first half, but how much are they going to keep firing in the second half? You know,
but his competition is Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and then Scrubs. Like, it's nobody else that, like, you really know about or care about.
Yeah.
So he's ridiculous. It's not going to come as a surprise to anyone who's listening to this that he's my number one guy by a mile. He's got like triple the optimal probability of Josh Allen, who's number two, just because they've got the highest total. Yeah, they might roll the Giants, like, but if the Giants are playing like backups on defense too, like, what's he gonna do while he isn't there? You know, they run all the time. He scores a ton of their rushing touchdowns. Like, if they put up, you know, whatever, 35 in the first three quarters and then take their foot off the gas, like, he's probably responsible for three of those touchdowns, and there's room for a lot more than that. So
Yeah, there definitely is. I think Geno looks pretty good. Total must win game for them. The Rams have all these dudes out on defense. The Rams have a pretty good run defense. He's got Lockett back. He's pretty cheap, although salary is probably like not that important this week. Kenny, can you talk yourself into Kenny Pickett at 5,000 running a little bit? I mean, these are just dudes that have incentive for sure. I mean, I suppose if we know that Burrow and Allen are both 100%, they got to go, they got to win because of, you know, seeding stuff or whatever, then you'd feel pretty good about both of them.
Yeah, it's pretty narrow for me. I think, like, the only cheap guys I'm a bit interested in are going to be outside. So, like, Hurts, obviously, I'm going to play quite a bit of Allen as well. Burrow, you know, like, yeah, we'd like to see some reports, but their totals are a little bit lower than they probably would be because of the uncertainty. So, you know, that will probably iron itself out. And if the Bengals and Bills both go up two and a half points in their totals, this will be closer. But right now it's Hurts number one by a mile. Purdy, and I think a little bit still of Deshaun Watson, and just like see what he can do, are the cheaper guys that I'm interested in playing. I mean, I'll sprinkle some of the others, but it's not a particularly inspiring list of dudes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really not. I mean, just going through this slate, it's like, well, who looks really good? I mean, even team totals, like, Seattle's got a 24, Buffalo's got a 24.5, you know, I mean, the Vikings are sort of interesting because obviously if Dalvin Cook and Kirk Cousins didn't play with that team total, you'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm interested in Nick Mullins and KJ Osborne and Alexander Mattison. They're pretty interesting. I would say as of right now, probably my favorite lean is hoping that one of Burrow or Allen at their ownership ends up needing to go for it for the full game. That seems best right now.
Yeah. I think so too. Those are definitely like number two and three exposures I will have. And then Purdy and Deshaun will round that out. I want to talk through it because it's clear he can't pass at all. We talked about it when it was the, oh my God, this guy's 4K. What are we going to do? He's a running quarterback. And I looked at a lot of his stuff and it's like, he's not really running. I mean, he's a running quarterback in that he's a like running back, but S. Ellinger averaged like 3 yards per carry in college. He's not a scrambler, but it's the like worst run defense in the history of football or whatever in Houston. I don't think he can throw enough to even worry about stacking, but like, could you see him running for 102 and like anything else is okay?
I mean, it's Houston, right? So like, I'm not gonna you know, totally rule it out or whatever. Was his other start against Houston too, or am I making that up?
It might be.
I don't know. We're gonna go do this research right now. So
I touted he sucks 0%. Don't touch him. Full fade. Put your bookie in a body bag and you know whatever. He's not a real runner.
He started against Washington football team. 23 passing attempts, 201 yards, 6 rushes, 15 yards. Started against New England. 29 passes, 103 yards, 5 rushes for 39 yards. Came in, played half the snaps last week with Foles out. 14 passing attempts, 60 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 rush for 12 yards. I mean, I don't know. Like, he could get 12 or 15 or 18 or whatever. That seems like kind of his range. It just becomes a matter of, like, in the context of a normal week, you're kind of wanting to save that salary. But right. This sort of just feels like a pick 'em. Like, you just pick the best place. I'm sort of upset that the Chiefs and the Jaguars games got moved off of the slate, because that would have made this slate a lot more interesting. I'm realizing now as we're going through this.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence would be a very fun play on this. Like, if you insert the Jaguars, I think that really does, because he's like, you know, Joe Burrow light right now. That's kind of what he's doing. It's just, you're right. That's the thing. It's like, there's enough value that it's like, okay, just play 35% Jalen Hurts, play 25% Josh Allen, play 20% Joe Burrow, and then like, I don't know, see, you know, whatever, fill in the rest, because you, who knows, but it's pretty likely one of those three, assuming either Allen or Burrow plays a full game, that one of those three scores 30, and then what are all these?
I'm gonna flag plant Gino. Gino is my dude here. Just looking at all these options, looking at projected ownership. Gino is way better than like a potentially 27% owned Jalen Hurts, I think. Given that, I don't think Jalen Hurts is gonna have to try very much in the second half. So running back,
you wanna? I'll give you plus 200 Gino versus Jalen Hurts.
I mean, that's probably about right. It's probably a fair line for total points.
Yeah.
Oh, Hurts is favored over that, but Hurts has well, one, you're not going to stack Hurts probably in this spot, or maybe single stack him, so that makes lineups a little bit more difficult. And no bring backs. I think you could totally do a Rams bring back, you know, 2-2 or Higby or whatever. The Rams games haven't mattered the whole Baker Mayfield era, and it hasn't affected their performance at all. Right. Yeah. So running back, man, it's so gross, but like Najee Harris is actually just a stone cold jam. Pittsburgh has to win this game to have any chance of making the playoffs, and Najee is getting used in the passing game again. You know, it just it is what it is.
Like, it's a disaster. The offensive line's been like, you know, mediocre. Yeah, it's like they sort of look like a below average NFL offense. So yeah, jam it.
yeah. I mean, Zach Moss, while we're talking about the Colts, he got all the work last 2 weeks with Deion Jackson like yelling at his coach. Last three games, 67%, 69%, 59% of the snaps, 24, 12, 15 rushes, not getting used at all in the passing game. Jordan Wilkins got used in the passing game last week, played 10 snaps, but was targeted twice. You know, it is what it is. If Zach Moss gets – Zach Moss is just Tyler Allgeier. Zach Moss is truly just Tyler Allgeier on a different team. Basically the same role, not getting 100% of the carries, but his team runs so much it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was going to say he's got the Nick Chubb problem where it's like the Sims won't like him regardless just because there's no real receiving upside. But, yeah, I mean, he's got all the rushing workload against a terrible rush defense. Like if he scores a couple three, you know, scores a couple three touchdowns, he'll be hurt.
Yeah.
Get that one either.
I think that seems about right. Latavius Murray seems sort of interesting if the Chargers are in total white flag mode. Our projections like him more than I anticipated. If David Montgomery sits out, right, because Fields is already sitting out, Herbert becomes like mega interesting. That'll be a Sunday morning thing. Cam Akers looks really good. Kenneth Walker looks really good to me. He's 6,400, but again, we're kind of more
still no Aaron Donald, and the Rams run defense is good, but it's not as good without him for sure. Has not been.
Yeah. No doubt. Brian Robinson Jr. I don't know. I mean, he got 26 rushing attempts last week. I think seems like a lot of rushing attempts. Yeah, I don't know. I probably won't play him, but it is what it is. Is there anyone else here? Dante Foreman, Ramondre. So if the Bills don't care and the Patriots do care, Ramondre lost all this work to Damian Harris last week. People will not be able to wait to not play Ramondre Stevenson after seeing Damian play all that time last week. I think Ramondre would be a great play.
Yeah, I like that call. That makes sense. Go for a little of that. Little obvious, but I think the Cook and Mixon are going to get a little under-owned relative to ceiling because it's a little more money. Like, you can be like, all right, well, I'll just play Najee Harris or Tyler Allgeier and save that money, and they look like pretty similar plays. It's only a point in projected difference or whatever, but I do think the ceilings on Cook and Mixon are substantial against the Chicago team, and then Mixon, like, you know, some Bengals games are... The Bengals have been like that for Burrow's whole career, where it's just like, remember how much people were complaining about how they didn't throw enough early on in the year last year? And it was like,
yeah,
well, actually it's like, you know, yeah, they're averaging 28 pass attempts per game, but they have 40 in three of the first eight or whatever, you know, they're like, when he throws a lot, they throw a lot, same idea with the run. So I think Mixon is probably worth speculating on it. You know, he'll put up a 40 ball every once in a while. So I think he's fine. And I just think that those two, I'm going to try to get 20% each of or so, because I think relative to their upside, they're gonna end up a little bit under own.
Yeah, that seems good to me. All right, let's go to wide receivers. I mean, truly, this is gonna be a slate where you can just pick all these cheap ass dudes: Drake London, Rashid Shaheed, Tutu Atwell. Greg Dortch had 10 targets last week, but only got like 3 points because David Blau is terrible. Brandon Ayuk has been, he's good, bro. Dortch has been,
yeah,
Dortch
sure,
has been,
sure. No, he's got like such a bad workload. It's just such a like the worst kind of.
It's
like,
it's
okay,
the worst
cool.
type
get
of dude. It's,
yard,
yeah. yeah, it's the worst type of dude to take for fantasy. Ayuk has been like the fucking Terminator since Debo has been out, and then this one is absolutely fascinating to me. Because Justin Jefferson is some yards away from the single season NFL receiving yardage record, and they're playing the practice squad Bears defense. It's just a matter of like, well, is Kirk Cousins going to play? Will the coaching staff even let him be in there? Like that is a total mind wrinkle.
It's pretty far away though now, right? Because he only got like 15 yards last week. I think he was like 200 something away, or, you know, I forget exactly what it was, but I think it's still like, I don't know. You know, if he's 180 yards away, does that really matter? I don't think so. Cause that's like, they'd have to really stretch him to try to go for that. I know it's the Bears and they stink.
Single season receiving yards record in the NFL. It's Calvin Johnson with 1,964. Justin Jefferson, he's probably not that close to that. He's probably pretty far away. Justin Jefferson has 1,771. So yeah, he'd have to have like a 200 yard game.
Right. I don't think that's a close enough for them to be like, yeah, go out there and get it, kid. Especially they think they're a real team.
He does have a 200-yard game this season, but yes, you're right. Maybe if he had gotten 100 yards last week and he was at like 115 or whatever, you know, then it would have been a little bit closer. The Chargers guys look good in our stuff, but again, I don't think there's going to be any reason for them to play. Jahan Dotson, last week, the quarterback play, like, what did you want him to do? He was in there with Carson Wentz, but his usage has been super good. He had a touchdown in the three games before that when they had a real quarterback playing. We didn't even mention Sam Howell. I mean, I don't know. He ran a little bit in college, but Dallas does want to win, so whatever. The Eagles guys look okay. Pittman Jr. looks okay. Deontay Johnson, so funny, dude. He is about to break an all-time unbeatable. No one else will ever come close to this for the rest of the NFL. He's about to get to 140 targets with zero touchdowns. That will be, I mean, I'm rooting so hard against him scoring a touchdown this week. It's unbelievable.
I wonder if there's anything of like people being like that want to see that happen so bad that they don't play him in DFS. Cause I mean, he does look like a pretty good play.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Hollywood Brown, like whatever, probably not that into him. What about the Jets guys, Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore? I guess there's no real reason for them. And then the Dolphins guys on the other side, right?
Wilson still had 146 air yards last week, so you don't have to worry about him. You know, it was a rough game compared to like what he was owned at. You know, people were expecting a little more, but he should be fine. Role didn't really change. He's gonna get his targets. Just a question of whether or not he can convert. Turns out Mike White is maybe not the savior, but I think Garrett Wilson is totally fine. It's the Eagles guys and the 49ers guys for me. Those are the, like, given their price, given their probabilities and their ownerships, those are just the smashes. You mentioned Ayuk. Purdy, Ayuk, Kittle is actually affordable. Like, you can do it. You can kind of do whatever you want. It's get you a little leverage off of McCaffrey. You can even stack McCaffrey in there with the way that this slate works out. And I don't usually love to play a running back with my quarterback. Hurts singles with either AJ Brown or Devonta Smith are monstrous. Like, AJ Brown is probably going to be single digits when he's got the highest optimal probability quarterback. He's going to end up being like a top three leverage guy. This is exactly what happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it's like, yeah, just, it may, you know, it's probably not going to run as good as that. That was great, but it's very live. And I am going to be all over that. Love the Eagles. Your boy Tyquan Thornton.
That's like, I was literally just about to bring him up. Okay. Yeah. He had 7 targets and a touchdown last week. He had another touchdown, pop off his hands basically. Very, very in on Tyquan Thornton this week. And I expect as we get more like tout data and stuff, and as it gets closer to Sunday, I expect he is going to end up being more popular. I also think, Diggs and Gabe Davis, if it ends up that the Bills need to win that game due to whatever permutation, they'll also end up being fairly popular as well.
Yeah, I think so. You can afford them, but I think I'm going to be going to ride them pretty hard speculatively anyway. You know, just like there are some good games, and that Thornton piece makes the Patriots a decent, is a nice bring back. It makes that whole stack much more affordable. Like Diggs and Allen is pretty brutal to fit in, but if you got a $3,700 wide receiver that correlates strongly with that stack, like, all about it. Sounds great. Sign me up.
Yeah. Who else is interesting here?
The Bengals. Did we talk about the Bengals? Not to get into the emotional stuff at all, but like, you know, just Jamar Chase looks like a very strong play. T. Higgins, just on the raw math, it's like
a little bit. Yeah, like if the Bengals have to play and have to win or whatever, again, we don't know yet. I think the confounding factor for the Bengals would be is that if Kansas City wins on Saturday, it doesn't matter for them either way. They needed a result against. So what the Bengals needed was the Bengals needed to beat the Bills in that Monday night game that got canceled, and for Kansas City to lose against the Raiders to get the one seed. So I think the Bengals game is not going to matter regardless.
Okay. It's good to know that beforehand. I think that's harder to deal with.
There's not another AFC team with the same. No, shit. This is so. This is so confusing to deal with. My brain is not built to calculate playoff percentages without knowing the tiebreakers and everything. But I think it's more likely the Bills game matters than the Bengals game, I believe. Not 100% on that.
Okay.
2-2 out.
Yeah, Chargers have an 18.5 total. Holy crap. Yeah, that does not matter to them for some reason.
2-2 Atwell chalk. You in on that? You in on some? Yeah. He's not your type. You're probably more of a Van Jefferson type guy.
I actually sort of like 2-2 Atwell in a vacuum because he's a deep threat, but he's tiny. I don't think he's got like in for the longest career, but it's also just like, yeah, he's a, like when that kind of guy is chalk. I used to say this about Tyreek Hill all the time back when in his sort of early breakout days, and it was true. He was the kind of guy that like doesn't really matter matchup, but if he's, Will Fuller was the number one example of this, where it's like if he's 1%, 2% owned, just jam him because you never really know, because it's all about speed and deep completions. But if they're popular, it's just like, well, it's probably not going to happen. So 2-2 Atwell, if he's going to be chalk, I don't think so. And that does, it makes me a little more reticent to buy in on the Seahawks and your Geno take, just because if that's the bring back that you want, not as into it if he's going to be popular. Yep. New Orleans guys, Shaheed versus Olave. You got
Shaheed's just like the greatest player of all time. Rashid Shaheed is the new Miles Austin, man. The new undrafted free agent who or Victor Cruz or whatever. Like, yes. this guy is unbelievable, man.
Cool. So,
hey, yeah. No, I'm dead ass. I think he's a great play, and I don't think he'll be very popular either.
Yeah, I mean, listen, teams have put up numbers on Carolina this year. And I actually don't think like the Dalton double there is like the craziest move in the world.
And Dalton is 4,800.
Yeah.
The issue with Dalton is that he's like legitimately giving up half of his snaps to Taysom at this point.
Yeah, that is, it's a little bit trickier. Dalton, right, you lose a lot of red zone equity.
Dalton played, I guess he played 81%. The last week, but Andy Dalton has not thrown a touchdown since week 15, and his rushing EV, even if like 1 yard quarterback sneaks, where like his red zone EV is like very low with this Taysom stuff.
Right, that's what I was going to ask. I wonder what the breakdown is in the red zone, and that's a good point that it makes the whole idea of doubling them a little rougher, because like, you know, Shaheed and Olave are really going to have to do it with long touchdowns, because when they get in the red zone, it's Taysom time. And that's,
Taysom had 14 rushes last week against Philadelphia. He had 9 for 56 the week before, 7 for 30 the week before. He's got, let's see here, how many passes does he have on the season? He's up to 19 passes on the season, 2 coming last week. Yeah, I mean, Taysom is like a real problem. Like, I don't think Dalton even has a ceiling game, because Taysom would just take away too much of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Scratch what I said. You know, talk me out of it. I don't think so.
Okay. Tight ends. I mean, McBride looks pretty good. You got all, he's like king usage. He just stinks, and he's in a stinky offense, but he had 7 for 75 and a touchdown last week. Freiermuth needs to win. Logan Thomas is up to a 20% target share the last month of the season. Kittle looks unfucking believable since Debo got hurt. He's been so good. Albert O. I mean, I can't tell you, Andrew. I really cannot tell you how upsetting it was to see him catch a touchdown last week, and for the new interim head coach to be like, yeah, I just don't really understand why this guy wasn't playing more. You know, we kind of been struggling on offense. This guy's pretty good. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
I didn't really see it, because I know like best ball is kind of not over. It might be, it's probably going to be, right, but like they're not paying anything out yet. All my teams died in the semis, but I wonder if that, like, was Albert O at all live? Because he was so popular. People play, you know, obviously he got drafted.
O counted for me in the Puppy 2 final. I am looking at my team right now, and I am using Albert Okwuegbunam's 12 points on underdog.com.
Hell yeah, bro. It's all worth it, huh? It's all worth it.
It's just we told the people it was all about week 17, and Albert O got there for me in week 17.
It's all about upside, right? In best ball, you know, you draft more guys, so you get to use just the best weeks. You know, you save them for
just the best weeks. Yeah.
So your team's going to be awesome because you got, you know, it's just the best ones that count.
Yeah. Turns out lots of guys get hurt though. And, you know, in fantasy football, it's
also the other guys in your league, like, get that same thing. That's what I was running into. Where it's like,
yeah, it's a real issue. Higbee is my preferred Seahawks bring back. This dude just like once every 4 years turns into Rob Gronkowski. It's kind of incredible. But he's currently on his usage right now, dude. I mean, it has moved his ADP up so many rounds. This is his usage. So obviously stunk ass against the Chargers. But 11 targets, 9 receptions, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns against Denver, 4 for 27 and a touchdown. Like, this dude is just on the field all the time. He's it's sort of unbelievable.
It's just so funny because he did that in a number of games that he had bagels in the middle of the year. Remember? It was just like, because he had like, you know, it's like 8 targets, 11 targets, 1 target, 0 targets, 4 targets. You know, like, what a weird, I mean, what a Ram season it was, really, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe if Jonnu Smith doesn't play again for whatever reason, Hunter Henry, I mean, you want to talk about usage, dude. This guy was, I think he didn't, yeah, he played 100% of the team snaps. He played 100% of the team snaps. They have a must-win game, 6 targets, 5 receptions, 52 yards last week. He'd probably be my favorite tight end play of the week, I think, if Jonnu didn't play.
All right, dude, then you're pulling out, you need to do this in one of your 3 max teams. You got to pull out the Mac doubles.
No chance, because the Patriots guys are actually perfect one-offs because their mega ceilings are not any higher than like 25 points. They're all really cheap, so you can use them as like stack fillers, right? They're much better for that than stacks on their own.
No, you're 100% right, because the Patriots, it's like they're not scoring 42 points. Like, it's not going to get out of control. Even the Bucs, who we had, you know, sort of poured water on their grave last week, it's like, well, you know, like, if it all works, they're still sitting there. I just don't know. I don't know about the Patriots. Because even if they start putting up a lot of points, they are that old school type team that'll then try to, you know, kick the air out of the ground or whatever the stupid saying is.
Yeah. Defenses, I mean, I don't know. Pick whoever you want. You got a bunch of defenses playing against guys who don't give a shit, so the pricing has a hard time taking care of that.
Yeah, I can get into San Francisco and McCaffrey as the correlation, just because no one's going to play the 49ers on DraftKings. They will on the other sites, but on DraftKings, because they're 4,100, like, nobody ever plays a $4,100 defense, even if there is, you know, money to spend. And I kind of think that's the way to go this week. The same thing, the Cowboys are 3,900. It's like, yeah, that seems terrible, but you've got the money this week and they're playing against freaking Carson Wentz and they have the most playmakers in the league. That could be just absolute bloodbath. Philly against the Giants, same idea.
I would say the Vikings against Peterman are really good, obviously. If the Jets are up against Mike Glennon, if Mike Glennon starts this game for whatever reason instead of Skylar Thompson because Teddy has this hurt finger, I mean, what a bummer for the Dolphins.
Is Nathan Peterman the best fantasy quarterback on a per snap basis of all time for defenses?
Yeah, because he doesn't run at all. Normally these really shitty quarterbacks who come in, like your Malik Willis's or your whoever's like Sam Ellinger, like, at least they run a little bit,
right?
So they're not dropping back 50 times. But Peterman can't move at all, so yeah, he probably has to be.
And he's played what, 7 halves in his career and probably has like 9 interceptions. It's been a lot.
Yeah,
he has very much not been good.
Yeah. I don't know, what's your favorite rule?
I don't know if I have a favorite rule necessarily. I'm trying to think. It's definitely like the Philly stack, Jalen Hurts singles, and then the I think the Brock Purdy doubles. I actually really like. Favorite rule. You got one off the top of your head, and I'm sure I can think of something. I don't really.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite grouping would be 2 of Walker, Lockett, Metcalf, Disley, or Fant with Geno, with Min 1, Akers, Tutu, McCutcheon, or I guess Powell played ahead of McCutcheon in the last game. Van Jefferson. I think that game and Higbee. I do. I think that game has a chance to be really, really good because the Rams don't care and the Seahawks really care. But the Rams have been like kind of fun while not caring, mm-hmm. like you know, doing their like cool play action stuff or whatever. I don't know. I got a gut feel.
Yeah, they're having a good time at the end of the season. Baker's a good time, you know. I think coach is just happy to have something to do because he's got all these plays he's got to get out of him. I mean, it's just like if you just sort by leverage right now, and again, very, very little, like actually zero tout data so far, which is get your stuff together, guys. The Eagles, like just take all and sort by leverage. Jalen Hurts, number one. AJ Brown's number two. Ayuk, Tyreek Hill. Devonta Smith is number five, and the Eagles defense is number eight. It's just like people aren't going to play the Eagles enough if they start talking about them a lot. We'll see what happens, but they have the highest total. I think people will play like Miles Sanders, if anything. I think there's going to be a lot of talk of like
Sanders will get talked up for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the Eagles, cool boy.
Bada bing, bada boom. You know, guys, the projections, all the sims, all that stuff will keep getting updated. You know, hope to win the stupid $1 million, like always. Mm-hmm. Keep definitely, like, I don't know. It's week 18 is so hard. It's like so much is going to come down to the Bills sat out their entire team. Did you? I mean, I'll never forget this. Duke Williams versus Robert Foster in week 18, 3 years ago. And I picked Duke Williams. He got zero targets, zero receptions for 0 yards. Robert Foster had 5 for 106. I 1v1 that and obviously lost all the money. So, I mean, that's the type of stuff that determines week 18.
Right. I mean, yeah, just something insane is going to happen. Like David Johnson or Kieran Williams, like all of a sudden gets the job back and has, you know, 35 fantasy points. Like something like that is going to happen this week. And that's not, you know, whatever. It's live every week, but weeks one and weeks 18, formerly 17, are the ones where it's just like we really have a hard time here. So good luck to you. Feel free taking some chances, but also like it's harder to like I'm trying to think of like the right way to put this because so for instance last week with Fields I was just absolutely jammed, didn't work out, but I was comfortable playing like 50 where the ownership wasn't high enough. He was the highest optimal probability quarterback by a mile. Went for it. Looked great. 113. He had like 18 points and he finished with 19 or 20 or whatever it was. So that didn't work out. But this week, even your contrarian play that you feel good about, it's like a tougher week to really take a stand on, which makes it tricky. Like even when you're like GPP bros like me, it's like you can still get a reasonable... Like, you can still have kind of a core, and you can still, like, mostly keep it to certain amounts of guys. But this is going to, you know, like, almost, you know, every week you're like, ah, crap, I didn't get that guy. And it's like DJ Moore or Mike Evans last week, and it feels obvious. And it's like, oh, man, why didn't I play that guy? Like, you know, he's 5% owned. He should, you know, I should have had more of him. This week it's going to be just randos that you're like, ah, shit, why didn't I get him? And it's harder for everyone, you know, like the Millie winner is not going to hit the nuts purely, but you'd be surprised. There might be some dudes that are like, oh, man, I didn't realize he was 4% out. Or like, you know, Hollywood Brown, where you're like, ah, I don't care. And then he just absolutely smashes. There's going to be some weird stuff this week. So good luck with the tilts.
Yeah, enjoy chasing the meaninglessness of trying to predict what teams who don't probably – it's Thursday. They probably don't even know for sure what they're going to do, honestly, at this point. So enjoy that.
Yeah, and we will all die someday.
Yep. All right, everyone. This will all be meaningless 52 million years from now anyway, and I'll be back with Reebs tomorrow. See y'all then.